train of thought that Sarah and I are having. We last were in the various tools that are so readily available to us on the internet. And I want to just pick up. She talked about the Liturgy of the Hours. Huge, huge, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Our family has prayed that for years. And what it does, ties you right back into the liturgy. You're right back into Mass. You're right back into the heart of the church. And I wanted to, if I could, there was a quote from the Catechism about this church, this notion of the church. And in bold print, the Catechism has, it's a plan born in the Father's heart. It's not a redo. It's not a oopsie over Adam and Eve. This was a plan in the Father's heart before, right before time, before he created humanity. He had this vision of church. So the Liturgy of Hours helps to keep us inserted into this wonderful, wonderful idea that our gracious Lord has had from all of eternity. I'd be tempted to read the whole thing, but it kind of, I don't know. I can read it. If it gets too lengthy, I can cut it out. How about that, friends?
That sounds good, yeah. Let's see what it says.
The Eternal Father, in accordance with the utterly graciousness and mysterious design of his wisdom and goodness, created the whole universe and chose to raise up men to share in his own divine life, to which he calls all men in his Son. The Father determined to call together in a holy church those who should believe in Christ, the church in Christ. This family of God is gradually formed and takes shape during the stages of human history. In fact, already present in figure at the beginning of the world, this church was prepared in marvelous fashion in the history of the people of Israel and the old advanced. Established in this last stage of the world and made manifest in the outpouring of the Spirit, it will be brought to glorious completion at the end of time. So that's that beautiful vision of the church. And I don't want to get too negative, but we have to kind of, I think, to be honest about the church and its setting right at the moment. I was thinking about our Lord walking his Via Dolorosa and I wondered if the people of that time would have seen our Lord scourged and beaten and carrying a heavy cross with a crown of thorns and a mangled tunic and would have said, oh, there goes, you know, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And I don't think they would have. And I think that that's kind of our challenge as we do this project of Garden of Graces, cultivating a Catholic culture. At least it's a challenge for me that I see beyond the disfigurement and the marring of the church. And I look to what the Christians of the first century said. The first Christians of the first century said that the world was created for the sake of the church. The sake of the church. That's our first century forebears, the church fathers, as Sarah's alluding to here. That's the image that I have to keep up in my head, in spite of news reports.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a very beautiful image to think of God as, you know, as the author of the human story, you know, who has already conceived before he puts it down on paper, as it were, you know, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you know, we find ourselves in the middle, you know, or maybe near the end. We don't know. But I often think that it's a grace of the divine to be able to create imperfection. And God has made us to be little less than the angels. He's called us to be like himself, and that we too are allowed to be co-creators with him. But we lack perfection. And so anytime that we are working towards creating something unfortunately, we have to make a mess first. It's not possible for us to create something. You know, even just before I was cooking dinner for the kids, and you know, to have the finished product, you know, I've opened three cans, have potato peels, have carrot peels, have you know, the remains of the chicken that I had. I mean, all of these things that are just what I kind of call human debris that are always there, that are messy and ugly and not necessarily useful until they go back into the ground and become nutrition for the next generation. So, you know, I think that right now it seems like all that there are is mud piles and construction pits, right? That's kind of what that's always my image is to kind of keep that open, that, you know, you put a scar in the earth to plant the seed, right? But we are, because God has called us to be like him, we do have that divine spark within us that allows us to be cooperators in his creation. And even though we see the mess and we have to live in the mess and the disorder of the world, our hope is in right, that's where our hope always resides. And yes, this does seem to be a very big construction time for the church.
Yes.
You know, ripping big holes for it. But you know, G.K. Chesterton said that the man who really loves will not suffer something to simply fall into decay. He will tear it down. Mm-hmm. Even though he loved it, he will start over.
That's
because
true.
He loved it.
That's right.
So I think that's we can have hope that at this moment that there is a tearing down going on, and that there will be a rebuilding. You know, and it will be more beautiful.
That's right. And certainly Our Lady at Fatima said that very thing, that in the end, her immaculate heart triumphed. And that's correct. Right. That's correct.
But it is hard. It's hard. It's like I'm living in an Ohio winter here. So I know what it looks like when the snow melts and the road debris has been kicked up on the side of the road and it becomes very gloomy and gray. Today, though, our Lord has seen fit to give us a little bit of sunshine. But no, you know, as nature is, you know, we can't expect, nature precedes the supernatural, right? The natural precedes the supernatural. So we can't presume that what we see in the natural order, when we have to construct new building and we have to rip up the land and we have to lay the foundations and we can't presume that in the supernatural order, it's going to be any more attractive as we're trying to.
That's right. And the church can only follow the steps of her Savior.
Right.
And right. I mean, that's correct. So that's right. Do we want to turn to our next topic? I have just one more, or do we want to cut it there? That sounds kind of negative.
I hope that that's not negative. I hope that there's hope there, that you don't, that it's not just because it's dark now that all is dark. No, it's dark now because it's night. Or it's dark now because, you know, I'm down in the hole and I'm digging the earth out and the sun just hasn't broken over the top of my hole. I mean, we know that the light is there. It's always, always there. Whether we see it or whether we don't, the light is there. And so, you know, when the light shines, darkness has vanished.
Very good. All right. All right, my friends, we have yet one more idea to give you in sort of this kind of grouping of episodes. To the next time, Faith and Reason.